And it is 8:10. We are sitting at 68 degrees in West Bend. Nice morning out there, a little breeze. We've got a few clouds, but mostly sunshine. Humidity is at 88%, wind out of the northeast at 9, and the barometer is at 29.97 inches. And it is time for our monthly conversation with Fireman Kenny. Good morning.
Well, good morning, Rick. KMG 365, Fireman Kenny's on the air, helping you to stay safe in a world where danger never takes a vacation. And as always, I've got my monthly shout-outs. First shout-out is to Rocco Bartolotta and the crew from Wolverine Fireworks. They put on another really great fireworks show in the city of West Bend on July 4th. The West Bend Fire Department appreciates the safety measures practiced by Rocco's crew, and we can't wait to have them back again next year. And speaking of the fireworks, thank you to Mike Yench and Jackie Maynard of the City of West Bend Parks Department for working behind the scenes to get a fireworks show scheduled. They were able to make a show happen even though the park was closed to spectators. Thank you to Horicon Bank for sponsoring the show again this year. Thank you to Manitou Group for allowing use of their land as the safety buffer zone. And last but not least, thank you to the West Bend Police Department staff, explorers, and Crime Prevention Control for helping keep the traffic flowing and the event as orderly as possible. And speaking of fireworks, my next shout-out is to the residents and visitors who use consumer fireworks safely in the West Bend area. The West Bend Fire Department had zero fireworks-related calls over the Independence Day holiday. There were no calls for fires, injuries, or deaths caused by fireworks. Thank you to everyone for a successful fireworks prevention campaign in 2020.
Wow, that's kind of impressive.
Yeah, I was pretty happy because the last few years we've had something. So last year we had a dumpster fire. 3 years ago we had the fire in the apartment building with the kid playing with the sparkler, and he dropped it as he brushed it against the cat's tail. So we had a really great campaign this year. So thank you, everybody, for being safe.
There we go.
And the last shout-out is to Underwriters Laboratories Fire Safety Research Institute. ULFSRI gave away 100 free Close Before You Doze Legacy Kits. These kits include stickers and magnets that remind children to close their bedroom doors before going to sleep at night. These outreach materials are invaluable in teaching children the lessons of closing their bedroom doors when it's time to go to sleep. The West Bend Fire Department received one of the kits, and we'll be giving away the stickers, magnets, and door hangers as part of our outreach campaign. For more information on the Close Before You Doze products, you can go to closeyourdoor.org.
All right.
And as always, we have our monthly sprinkler saves, so also known as fires you never hear about, because there's no news in something that was stopped from happening. And as I pointed out, I'm an advocate of fire sprinkler systems and a dues-paying member of the National Fire Sprinkler Association, www.nfsa.org. Be sure to follow the National Fire Sprinkler Association on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. And you can also visit sprinklersaves.com to see the latest information on activated sprinklers that suppressed or controlled fires. And for our listeners who are fire department members, please remember to go to sprinklersaves.com and report any sprinkler saves you have in your fire response area. All right, the first one is from Beloit. No injuries were reported following a fire caused by improper use of smoking materials on June 23rd, according to the Beloit Fire Department. A sprinkler system at an apartment building in the 400 block of Olympian Boulevard likely saved lives, the fire department Facebook post said. The sprinkler system prevented a fire in the common room from spreading further. The fire started at about 11:20 p.m. on that Tuesday evening. A couch in the common area caught fire from the careless use of smoking materials, but the fire was extinguished by the sprinkler system, with the blaze causing approximately $7,000 in damages. And our next one is from Fitchburg. So we kind of mentioned this one, but I wanted to save it just in case I didn't have enough. So from Fitchburg at approximately 8:30 p.m. on Saturday night, June 28th, Dane County Public Safety Communications received an alert from an alarm monitoring company for a fire alarm sounding in a suite on Commerce Park Drive in the city of Fitchburg. The first arriving unit confirmed that an audible alarm was sounding in the building, but no smoke or flames were visible. After entering the suite where the alarm was sounding, the crew discovered there had been a fire in a kitchenette area and that it had been extinguished by a sprinkler head. Firefighters ventilated the area to remove the remaining smoke and assisted with initial water cleanup efforts. Following an investigation into the cause of the fire, control of the property was turned back over to the building owners. No injuries were reported during the response.
See, there we go. Another successful month of sprinkler saves.
Yep, we've done pretty well. So hopefully people will just continue to report their sprinkler saves. And as we hopefully we're gaining some sprinkler advocates and we can get the word out and hopefully save a lot of lives from these sprinkler systems that are putting out these fires early on.
There we go. All right. Well, now this next topic is one that you and I talked about because I think there's some confusion out there when people hear reports about fires and all these departments responding and so on and so forth. So let's talk about it.
Yeah, because this kind of stemmed. There was about a year or two ago, there was in the West Bend Daily News and also on the Washington County Insider, there was people writing letters complaining about how many fire departments have to respond to a fire. So Rick wanted to talk about the MABUS system. So we're going to talk about mutual aid and why things work the way they do in the fire service. So oftentimes when there is a fire, the media will report that several fire departments responded to that fire. People often wonder why so many different fire departments have to respond to a fire. Because of limited tax dollars for full-time firefighting personnel, as well as a reduction in the number of people who are willing and or able to become a volunteer or part-time firefighter, fire department staffing is greatly reduced from the number of firefighters available 30 or more years ago. This reduction in staffing and apparatus meant that there had to be a cooperation and interoperability between different units of government. This cooperation and interoperability also meant people had to rely on mutual aid for fire suppression efforts. That means formal mutual aid agreements had to be established. Thus, there was the birth of the MABUS system. So what is MABUS? So M-A-B-A-S stands for Mutual Aid Box Alarm System. So MABUS is a mutual aid measure that may be used for deploying fire, rescue, and emergency medical services personnel in a multi-jurisdictional and or multi-agency response. MABUS is a mutual aid organization that has been in existence since the late 1960s. Heavily rooted throughout Northern Illinois, MABUS now includes over 750 member fire departments organized within 75 divisions. MABUS first came to Wisconsin in 1987 with the joining of the village of Pleasant Prairie in Kenosha County. MABUS divisions geographically span the states of Illinois, Wisconsin, Indiana, Missouri, Michigan, and other states like Minnesota, Iowa, and Ohio who are considering joining. There are 63 established Wisconsin divisions who share MABUS with the 62 divisions established in Illinois. Fire departments in Washington County are in MABUS Division 111. MABUS includes over 25,000 firefighters and daily staffed emergency response units, including more than 950 fire stations, 1,100 engine companies, 375 ladder trucks, 800 ambulances, mostly paramedic capable, 150 heavy rescue squads, 135 light rescue squads, and 275 water tankers. Fire and EMS reserve units account for more than 600 additional emergency vehicles. MABUS also offers specialized operations teams for hazardous materials, surface water rescue and dive rescue, as well as technical rescues like high angle and trench rescue. An additional element of resource are the certified fire investigators, which can be packaged as teams for larger incidents required complicated and time-consuming efforts for any single agency.
Interesting. That's a lot of person power.
Yeah, and that again, these are and you can break those down into the individual departments. So like, let's say we have 40 full-time and 3 part-time members. We have 3 fire engines, 2 ladder trucks, 4 ambulances. So that all counts in this whole MABUS division organization.
Okay.
All right. So what are the benefits of MABUS? Okay. So there's pre-planned responses for various incidents. So the number of engines, ladder trucks, ambulances, chiefs, and special equipment is predetermined. So there's no ambiguity about which fire departments will be called to an incident and in what order. So here's an example from, this goes back to before my time, so I think this was like the early 90s. An example of the need for MABUS would be the escape fire in the 1990s that was on Highway 33 in West Bend's fire response area. Instead of a well-established system that determines who is to be called, the incident commander of a fire scene used to have to ask for each fire department that they wanted to respond and what resources they wanted from each fire department. As I remember the story being relayed to me, the incident commander of the escape fire called everyone except for the Colesville Fire Department, which was probably the next closest fire department to the fire. So again, you got an incident commander who is trying to think, okay, I want an engine from Allenton, I want a ladder from Hartford, and they're trying to think in their mind and forgot about the closest fire department.
Right, so, and they're doing this. While they're on the scene, right?
You know. Right. Yeah. Yeah. So you roll up on the scene. You've got this, you know, fire rolling out the windows, and you're trying to figure out, okay, who do I want to come next? Well, as I remembered the story, it was relayed to me that caused a little bit of tension between some of the fire departments in Washington County. So a box alarm system in place at the time would have reduced the response time, included the closest fire departments, and relieved any tension that occurred after that particular fire. So now we have MABUS cards. Each department that would be needed to respond is already pre-planned. So if we have a working structure fire in the city of West Bend, the West Bend Fire Department will respond. The incident commander will then page a working still on MABUS box 15-1-1, which gets off-duty and part-time personnel paged, as well as a fire engine and a chief from the Jackson Fire Department. If the fire is growing in size or there is a need for additional units, a box alarm will be paged. At that point, we'll get two additional fire engines from Allenton and Newburgh, a ladder truck from Keewaskum, chiefs from Allenton and Newburgh, and a rapid intervention team from the Slinger Fire Department. And so calls can be covered in the city of West Bend. The Fillmore Fire Department will staff the station with a fire engine and a chief. If the incident were to grow and more help is needed, additional resources can be called on successive box alarms, and our mutual aid partners from further away will be called to the scene and to staff the station.
Okay, now I got a question. Why is it called working still?
I think because whenever in the old days, whenever you'd have a fire, it was called a working fire. So then as they developed the box alarms, it was a still alarm, and that's a Chicago term going way back when. A still alarm was for any reported fire or fire alarm. And then when you get the working fire, it goes to a working still, and then it goes. Then you go into the boxes from there on out.
Okay. Because the working still always, you know, as I'm sitting home listening on the scanner and I hear working still, I'm going, what does that mean? Why is it working still?
Okay. Yeah, the MABUS system, as it developed out of the Chicago area where it started, then they adopted a lot of Chicago terms, and that's just kind of how things have come. So what used to be, and I'm trying to remember way back when what we called them, it used to just come in as like a fire alarm or a fire, actual structure fire. Now they're all classified just so we can keep track of the incidents. And so between still and working still, that way when we submit the NIFRS report, the U.S. Fire Administration can keep track of all those as well because it's common terminology.
Okay. So the other thing, the important thing that this does, which is the next part here, is that it doesn't, because of the MABUS system, it doesn't mean that every West Bend fire station gets emptied out of people to go fight a fire.
Right. Well, on the initial response, all three stations, because again, we only have somewhere between 10 and 12 people working on any given day. So yeah, so all three stations will be emptied, but then the callback personnel, so our people that are off duty and our part-time personnel will come in and help staff the stations, as well as get, like, let's say, the ladder truck going. So the ladder truck will respond with callback off-duty personnel. And then, yeah, so then you also get the mutual aid personnel covering the station so that you have enough people to respond on the next, if there is another call shortly after that.
Right, right. But again, neighboring cities aren't going to empty out their firehouse either.
Right. So what happens is you're going to take only about 20% of a neighboring fire department's resources, which will be utilized at this incident. So that way, each fire department still has resources available to mitigate any additional responses in their response areas. So like, let's say if we take an engine and a chief from Allenton, we're not going to take another piece of equipment from Allenton. And it kind of works in concentric circles. So our initial response is our neighbors. And then if the fire grows, we're going to work our way outside. So as we get Allenton, Keewaskum, Newburgh, and Jackson to the fire, then the next group would be the Fillmore, the Boltonville, Hartford, Slinger. And then we'll work a little farther out. If we have a huge fire, so like let's say downtown is burning, we're going to end up with Menominee Falls, we're going to end up with Fond du Lac, we're going to end up with maybe Horicon. So that way, even though those units got to come through other municipalities to get to our fire, the municipalities that they're going through still have resources available to respond to their own calls.
Right, in case the alien ship lands somewhere over in Horicon.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
We wouldn't want that to happen.
No.
Not today, anyway.
You never know and anymore.
So then automatic mutual aid and interoperability at fires helps to decrease the ISO ratings in a community, which helps reduce the fire insurance rates. And we're going to talk about ISO ratings after in a little bit. And then we have the limitations of MABUS. So MABUS isn't an end-all. It is a good working system, but there are limitations. So what happens is there's reductions in staffing at the local level, which means that there will be reliance on mutual aid for the working structure fires. That means there'll be longer response times for a larger number of firefighters to arrive on scene to suppress a fire. So like I talked about, if the Oh My God fire at downtown's burning, we will get people there. But as this thing starts to grow, it's going to take a little bit longer to get people there and get this fire out. Equipment reductions in fire stations means that specialized equipment such as ladder trucks and rescue vehicles will have to respond from further away. Because let's say ladder trucks are getting more and more expensive. So the thought process is to reduce the number of ladder trucks. And I'll use Greendale and Hales Corners. They share a ladder truck. So they've got people in Greendale who staff the ladder truck that is owned by Hales Corners and Greendale, but it might take just a little bit longer for that ladder truck to get to a Hales Corners fire.
Gotcha.
And if there is a fire or other type of emergency where mutual aid is being requested and the neighboring departments on the next level of the box card are busy with other calls, the incident will require for the further out fire departments to respond, causing a delay in response time. So like, let's say Jackson's got a fire, a small fire that they're handling, and we end up getting a fire, then they would not be able to respond immediately. We would have to go into the box a little deeper, causing a slight delay in getting another vehicle to the scene.
Gotcha. All right. Well, that makes sense. And every once in a while you hear on the scanner that, X department can't send anybody for that call because they've
right.
got... They've either got something else going on or it's a volunteer department. They don't have enough staff.
Right. Especially during the day. So volunteer fire departments back in the day. So like, let's say my butler days, there was a lot of the employers who let their people go during the day. And now there's a lot of times you'll find, like, let's say in this area, a lot of the people are working in Milwaukee and unable to respond from such a long distance to any working fires or any ambulance calls in the community where they live.
Sure. So, anyway, thanks for the explanation. It makes more sense now, and hopefully that will make sense to people when they hear the report and don't think that that a dumpster fire that was threatening a building all of a sudden had 40 units there dealing with it.
Right, and the thing is, there's a lot of people that didn't understand it, that were upset by it. Hopefully the explanation keeps those people a little bit calmer when they see that it's 11. So when you see 11 fire departments, that might be one fire engine of three people from one fire department, an air truck from Slinger may only show up with two. And so there's, even though there's 11 fire departments at a bigger fire, you may only have something like 40 people on scene. And like, let's say a bigger city like Chicago or New York, they on smaller incidents have 30 people showing up on a scene. So you end up with, even though it looks like there's a lot, it's really not a lot of people showing up to fight a fire. Because remember, fighting fires is very physically intensive. So people get worn out pretty quickly. It'd be like playing a full football game. And as you see, the football players are pretty spent after 3 hours. Firefighters are the same way. You're doing a lot of different things, climbing up ladders, trying to move hose lines, trying to cut with stuff with chainsaws. So you get pretty tired after a 2 or 3 hour fire. And so that's why you need a lot of extra people just to kind of rotate through and get some more frequent breaks.
Well, and then other things impact that too as well. Temperatures and weather conditions in general can play a factor for sure.
Yeah, well, because it always seems like the fires come in either the hottest day of the year or the coldest day of the year. So you need a lot more frequent breaks in the summertime just because of how quickly you dehydrate, and you're going to need some water breaks. And then in the wintertime, you just need a little time to warm up when you're outside, because even though turnout gear is pretty warm, the boots never seem to stay warm, and your feet are always cold. And, you're working in very bad conditions up on a roof or something like that when the wind's blowing at 40 miles an hour and the wind chill factor is 13 below. So it ends up being very labor intensive, and you end up needing more frequent breaks.
Right, right. Well, now, something people may not understand is that the work of the West Bend Fire Department helps keep insurance premiums low.
Yep, exactly. So a lot of times when you have your insurance premiums, your fire insurance, some of the insurance companies, not all, determine their rates based on the ISO rating. So the West Bend Fire Department is proud to announce that we have maintained an ISO rating of a 2 in the city of West Bend and a 4 in our coverage areas in the town of West Bend and town of Barton. The Insurance Services Office, which ISO stands for, collects and evaluates information from communities in the United States on the structure fire suppression capabilities. The data analyzed using their fire suppression rating schedule, which is the FSRS, and the Public Protection Classification, the PPC, grade is assigned to the community. The surveys are conducted whenever it appears that there is a possibility of a PPC change. As such, the PPC program provides important, up-to-date information about fire protection services throughout the country. So why is it important? Some insurance companies set their fire rates upon the ISO rating. The lower the number of the ISO rating, the lower the insurance rates for home and business owners in a community. As well as the insurance rates, there are also structural components that a homeowner may not be allowed to have in a home. I recently received a phone call from a woman who wants to build a home in our fire protection area in the town of West Bend. She really wants a wood stove, but called because her insurance agent wanted to know the ISO rating in the area. I called her insurance agent, and he advised me that most insurance companies will not cover a home with a wood stove if the fire protection area has an ISO rating of a 9 or 10. Because the ISO rating is a 4, she can now build her dream home. And by the way, Melissa, thank you for the very nice card you sent me regarding the phone calls. I did receive it and is very much appreciated.
Well, so this factors in when people are building homes too. Interesting.
Right. Yeah, because if you have structural components that you want to put in a home, you may or may not be able to get insured, or there are insurance companies that will insure you for some of those components, but will just charge you more. So you're going to end up paying more in insurance every year than you would if you didn't have those components in your home.
Gotcha.
So what goes into the ISO rating? So there's three parts of it. The first part is emergency communication. So that's 10% of the rating. And so that includes our dispatchers, so the emergency reporting system, so those that have 911, which 911 covers about 98.5% of the country, our telecommunicators, so the, how many dispatchers we have on duty at any given time, and the dispatch circuits. So what, like let's say the radio system, the paging system, everything that goes into that. A fire department review, which is 50% of the rating, so review of the apparatus. So sometimes like the age of the apparatus can factor into that, so that's why we try to replace fire engines and ladder trucks at 20 years. A review of fire department staffing, so that would be, like I said, our 40 full-time personnel and our 3 part-time personnel, how much staffing we have during the day, how many people are coming in on callback. Review of training, so how often we're training on fire suppression tactics. Review of our operations, so what goes into our stuff that we're doing every day to work with, you know, like let's say entering our NIFRS reports. So the NIFRS is the National Fire Incident Reporting System. So our reporting system goes in there. And then there's extra points for community risk reduction. So like I've talked about our fire prevention efforts, so our fire prevention inspections, our community outreach, social media, and they were pleased that I'm on the radio once a month. So this actually counted towards some of the extra points that we got for community risk reduction, me being on the radio every month.
Well, there you go.
And then so, our water. Oh, go ahead, Rick.
They should buy you and me both a donut.
I'm thinking that would work out well, and especially because Dunkin' Donuts is going to be opening up soon. Once the building is done, I'll hopefully have some of those. They can buy some of those.
There we go. All right.
And then the water supply is 40%. So, like, let's say our supply system, as far as, like, how well water moves throughout the city and the pipes and, like, let's say dead-end mains and that sort of thing. And then hydrants, so the sizes, types, installation, inspections, and flow testing of the hydrants on a regular basis. So the West Bend Fire Department received 84.18 out of a possible 105.5 points in the city of West Bend. The ISO rating of 2 puts the West Bend Fire Department in the top 5% of fire departments in the United States for fire suppression and fire prevention activities.
That's pretty impressive.
I would say, yeah, so we're doing fairly well. Of course, there's always room for improvement. You know, like let's say the city has grown significantly you know, over the last 24 years. The fire department, we have not added any staffing since the year 2000, so it's been 20 years since we've added staffing. But again, we are, you know, doing our best to make sure that we can keep this rating low and respond to all the incidents that come in and take care of the city of West Bend residents and the surrounding area, as well as any visitors and people who are working here during the day.
But I think it's really, and I think, you know, a matter of time before some additional folks are going to have to be added. It's just the reality of the situation.
Yeah, and we're kind of, you know, we're always hopeful. And as the city grows, because, you know, we've got a lot of great projects coming in. So hopefully as the city grows and there's more tax dollars available, we can start adding some staffing to the West Bend Fire Department. If the city continues to grow, we'll probably end up needing maybe things like another station on the west side, any number of things that would happen to need additional resources because of our growing population and growing call volume.
And if, you know, if you did it right, you could put the station on the west side by the Dunkin' Donuts.
Well, actually, the midtown, the middle station, Station 1, is pretty close to Dunkin' Donuts. So,
well, that's true.
Nice, because my office is not that far away, so I can end up going to Dunkin' Donuts, and Baskin-Robbins will be in there as well. So it'll be a 2-for, donuts and ice cream.
Yeah, it's pretty close to my apartment, too, and I'm nervous about that.
Well, they do have the best donuts, because, you know, like when Krispy Kreme first came around and everyone's like, oh, I love Krispy Kreme. I'm like, ugh. I'd much rather have a Dunkin' Donuts or just the plain old ordinary donut from Quick Trip is pretty good, too.
Yeah, there you go. So that wraps us up for the month of July, but there's things going on in August as well.
Yeah, so we've got Smokey Bear's birthday is August 9th. So make sure to follow the Smokey Bear website. National Immunization Awareness Month is August, back to school month. We'll see. We're working with the school district and the other schools to see how well that's going to go for going into September. National Wellness Month is also in August. Medic Alert Awareness Month. Stop on Red Week is August 2nd to the 8th. Drive Sober or Get Pulled Over Week is August 19th to the 23rd. And International Overdose Awareness Day is August 31st.
All right. Hey, just we talked before we went on the air just a little bit about the back-to-school stuff. And I thought it was kind of interesting that as schools try to go ahead and make the classrooms more safe as far as not getting germs spread around, they might accidentally or inadvertently be increasing fire danger.
They might be, yeah, because there's a number of social media posts out there that have, like, let's say the separations between the desks would be made of plastic sheeting. I can't think of anything really more flammable than plastic sheeting. So hopefully that the as fire inspectors become more aware of what's going on in the schools, they will be able to work with the schools to be able to figure out what would be the best options. So I've been in constant contact with the West Bend School District and the private schools in the area. I've been able to answer any questions, and we're working on trying to be very safe with the coronavirus as well as trying to improve fire safety in the schools.
All right. Sounds good. Well, thank you very much.
Yep. Thanks for having me again, Rick. We'll talk again next month.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks. That is West Bend Fire Captain Kenny Aslan. Fireman Kenny.